Okay. It's good being with you this morning. And I'll say what I heard one preacher say. I'm a person of repetition. I have to remember a few things. And he said, when you get as old as us, you're happy to be anywhere. And so we're glad to be here this morning and take part in the Bible conference, be invited to preach. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like being in a Bible conference listening to the Word of God. And I thoroughly enjoy going to Bible conferences. And for the last year, my wife and I, since I'm not pastoring, we can go to more conferences, fellowship meetings. And we've heard great preaching for the last year. Looking forward to the preaching today. But turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in verse 7. But before we get into our scripture reading, let's bow our heads and ask God to move, to bless, and to give us the message that God's laid on my heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bow in Thy holy presence. Lord, we thank You this morning that Thou art the great God of the universe. Lord, You're the Creator God. You're the one that made these vile bodies, Lord, and we became sinful through the fall. And in loving grace and mercy, Lord, You lifted us up out of our sins, gave us life, gave us hope. And Lord, today, I would pray that the message You've laid on my heart to preach would be preached with clarity, plainness of speech. Lord, that You would touch our hearts, that we would go away from this place, not only through this message, but the other great messages that will be preached from the Word of God, rejoicing in God our Savior. For it is in His name we pray. Amen. Verse 7. Well, let me go back a few verses. Go back to verse 4. Get a little more insight into what I'm going to be talking about. This is the testimony of the Apostle Paul. He's writing this letter to the Philippian believers, the church at Philippi. And he is encouraging them. And this book is about the joy and rejoicing of the child of God. And he's writing to them from prison. And in Timothy, you read these words, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And so he's ready to go home to be with the Lord. And that was the end of his ministry there in the Roman prison when they put him to death. But look what he says here to the Philippian church. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. And we do. I never thought I'd ever see people saved by the grace of God with such confidence in fleshly strength. If any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Well, he said, if you have reason to trust in the flesh, let me give you my testimony. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Underline that in your Bible. Underline that word Pharisee in your Bible. Does anybody think there's Pharisees today? I see a lot of them. Modern day Pharisees. A lot of them's in Baptist churches. And I believe this message will help us. We're so orthodox that we're no good for anything. Verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But notice, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, self-righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Verse 10 is our text. The first statement there, that I may know Him. Today we want to preach on those who know their God. Paul had a testimony. He was a Pharisee. He was highly looked upon by others. Self-righteous man that he was. Concerning zeal, he hated Christ. He persecuted his church. Orthodox Jew. And had testimony for God. And this message is not intended to bring out all that are not close to God. But let me ask you. We say that we're saved, and no doubt we are. And we have this testimony. And people around us know that we're members of a Baptist church. And we're expected to say those things. But based on all that we've experienced in our daily walk of life, can we say with absolute assurance, I have truly known God in my personal relationship with Him? See, it goes beyond salvation. If God saved me to take me to heaven, He felt me. See, there's that relationship that each of us have with our God. Let me ask you, you look at Paul's testimony in his latter life. Do we have the testimony of Paul? Has our knowledge of God, listen now, caused us to enjoy past disappointments, present heartbreaks that to us, they just don't matter? Paul gave us his testimony. He said, I lost everything. And boy, you look at his testimony in the second Corinthians, the letter he wrote. And he suffered loss of health and wealth and everything else. Beaten and almost killed. Shipwrecked. In a Roman prison. Ready to die. He said, they don't mean nothing. What was his testimony here to the Philippian church? Rejoice. Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Today, I see something in God's Baptist churches, among God's saints, with all that's coming to pass. When the Supreme Court made the law, says that was legal for homosexuals to marry, lesbians to marry. Boy, I'm telling you, if you've got a cell phone or Twitter or whatever, it was lit up for probably 24 hours. It's awful. It's awful what's happening. It is awful. And it is going to affect this church. I heard a man waving his fist on the news broadcast and saying, they will supply. The question was asked, what about the churches? They will comply. They will do it. They will do it. They have to do it. And so what's happening? Well, we've had prayer was outlawed. Bible reading was outlawed. Abortion was made legal. And now this. And listen, it's all the anti-God movement of the progressive socialists. They care nothing about marriage. It's to break down the home, the family, and do away, and now they're going to say, you can't say man and woman, you've got to say person. And so what's happening is gloom and doom, apathy. People get mad and angry. I went to the Bible conference not long ago. 4 or 5 preachers had weapons in their pockets. That's my constitutional privilege. Well, it's mine too, but I don't have no gun. Don't need one. I carry a sword. Word of God. But anyway, I hear those men talking. It's like, I'm just praying that one of those would show up so I could shoot him. You ever think that one of those people, I believe that God can save anybody. He saved me. You ever think that they might be the elect of God? We want to shoot the elect of God and do away with the elect of God? See, it's what's happening. And just giving up. I hear all the time, God's not saving people like He used to. God's not working like He used to. Boy, in my Bible, somebody asked me if I had a King James. I do. That's all I've ever used. And if you're here and you're lost, if you'll let me know that after service is over, I'm going to sit down and read you the same scriptures, the same gospel, and the same spirit that saved people back 45 years ago. When God saved me, He'll save you today, same way. And guess what? I have this assurance. All the elect of God, one day going to be in His presence. I have no doubt about that. And so, what am I saying? We need to really know our God. That's what the message is about. Paul has been saved, he's ready to die, and his plea is that I may know Him. And to know God, we don't dwell on what might have been. We don't dwell on things that we feel that we've missed out on. We dwell upon a wonderful relationship with our Savior. Paul said, those things in my past are worthless. Those things that I considered and I gave up, he said, they're but dung. I consider them done that I may win Christ. Not be saved, but in my relationship, that I might be pleasing to Him and have His approval. And be found in Him. And to know Him. To know Him personally. In an intimate, loving, wonderful, daily relationship. To know His personality. To know His power. Because He said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. To know His patience with us. Folks, God's patience and God's mercy are wonderful. I'll tell you what. For 45 years, God's been putting up with me. Amidst all my failures and the times I disappointed Him, you say, is God disappointed with us? Well, He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherewith you're sealed, you know, until the day. Yeah, we can disappoint God. We need to understand that. We need to know that. He's patient with us. He's loving with us. What about the peace that we have? Paul is in prison. Paul is going to die. He did die. But he was at peace with God. He was at peace with those around him. He wrote the letters to Timothy. He wrote the other prison epistles. He wrote this epistle to the Philippian church to encourage them. You know, I think we have an abundance about this knowledge. We know all kinds of facts from the Word of God. You know, we can know a great deal of facts about God without much intimate, wonderful knowledge of Him. We can know a great deal about godliness without much knowledge of God. We can pray every day, read our Bibles. We can talk to people about what we believe from the Word of God. We can give our time. We can tell people they need to be saved. We can go through all the motions. Why? Because our pastor said we should. That's expected of us. But when we really know God, according to our text, all of our losses and all of our crosses, they never matter to us. It's just to know God. I'm going to go back to the book of Daniel. And through the book of Daniel, would like to illustrate to us what it really means to have this loving, intimate relationship with God. This daily, moment by moment, day by day, walk with our God. In this intimate, loving, knowing relationship. First of all, those who truly know God, they have great energy for God. And we may illustrate that. 7th of October is a great day in my life. 48 years ago, Tom and I were married. Now, I know a lot of you ladies. I do. I know you by name, your husband. A lot of you men I know. I know your wives. I know some facts about you. I've met you. But you know something? In 48 years, I love my wife as much today as I ever did. More, probably. Why? Because we've had that daily, everyday, loving relationship. We're one. And you know, when we're saved, we're one in Christ Jesus. And do we have that relationship, that intimate relationship? And here's what I want to say. Because I have this relationship with my wife, she don't say, "Will you jump this high?" She jumped, and I go as high as I can, and I say, "Is that high enough?" In other words, we do things for those we love. We gravitate toward those that we love. There's that togetherness with those that we love. And this lady got married, and 2 weeks later she said her and her husband was going on their honeymoon. Well, fellas, are you still on your honeymoon? Tom and I have had a honeymoon for 48 years. Why? Because of that wonderful relationship. That intimate, loving relationship that we have. That togetherness, that oneness. And we are pleasing to one another. I don't do things for my wife because I have to. Pastor, do I have to do that? Do I have to do this? You expect me to do that? One time, I used to encourage Bible reading. Read your Bible through every year. You know why? That's God's love letter to us. That's God expressing His love and caring. And because we have this intimate loving relationship. And I encourage that in the church where I was pastoring. This man comes to me and says, "You think all we've got to do is read the Bible? Do we have to do that?" I said, "No." But that man, I'm not being critical, I'm just being critical. I'll bet you that man spent 500 hours a year doing this. Every time we'd have something going on in church, "Well, Pastor, I'm sorry, I can't be involved in that." "What's going on, Leroy?" "Well, you know, I scheduled this golf tournament way back months ago, and I paid my fees and everything, and I'm going to have to go." Hogwash. Can't read his Bible. You have to do it? No, you don't. I got to read my Bible this morning. You know why? Because I want to know what the Lord's got to say to me for today. I love to read the Bible, don't you? I love to pray and talk to the Lord and be pleasing to Him in the things that He encourages me to do. I don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall He corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God, the ones that really know and have that intimate, daily, loving, wonderful relationship, stand in utter amazement of the Lord of glory, who here shall be strong and do exploits." Folks, we have energy for God when we know God. The ones who know their God will stand firm and they will take action. Will be actively engaged in this relationship with God. He's pleasing to me in saving me, in dying for me, and going to prepare a place for me. He's gracious and loving to me to provide a New Testament Baptist church and a wonderful pastor where I can serve him, and the pastor to love me and encourage me in my daily walk of life and to teach me and to strengthen me. Why shouldn't I get up when my wife gets up and cooks my breakfast and says, "I love you"? She washes my clothes. She cleans the house we live in. She watches over me. Why shouldn't I respond in love toward her and be appreciative and loving and dispense my time? Same way with God. The God of all grace and mercy is the one that saved me. He's the one that died for me. You know something? That little cross that I may carry is nothing in comparison to what He's done for us. Stand firm. Take action. See, verse 32 shows us that our actions taken by those of us who know God is a reaction, if you read this whole chapter, to the anti-God trends which are operating around us. You know, we might think we're living in the worst of times. I'm not. I'll be honest with you. We think, and you know the reason I think we do that? So we can have pity on ourselves and not do a whole lot. Whatever you can do, do. I didn't get up this morning and say, "Well, you know, 2 weeks from now they may put us in jail. I can't do that much. Folks, I'm come here to preach. I leave you, I'm going to go home and go to church tonight. That's my liberty and freedom, like Brother Benny preached yesterday. I'm going to get up Monday morning, and I'm going to wake up with the Lord. If He tarries, He's coming. I'm going to have that day. Every day. I'm not going to look forward to what they're going to do. I'm going to pray God forgive me today sufficient for the day's evil thereof. And react. We take action and react when something comes that we need to react to. But while God is being defied, disregarded, degraded, blasphemed, we cannot rest. And it's always been like that. Let me tell you something. My great-great-great-grandfather came to America. In the early 1700s. You know why he came to America? It wasn't the land of opportunity. Anybody ever read about the persecution in the Swiss Alps? You ever read the churches of the valley of the Piedmont? That's where he came from. He fled for his life. He was a Baptist preacher. He fled for his life. Anybody here ever flee to another country yet? Did you run? Have you run because you're going to die? You ever read the persecutions in the Dark Ages? Somebody said over 50 million Baptists died during that persecution. And here we have these little pity parties. Folks, we have ample opportunity. We have every reason. And when the time comes, we take action. It goes us to action. A close look at the exploits of Daniel and his three companions show how they knew their God and how we should know Him. They were taken into slavery in Israel. They were driven like cattle 500 miles to Babylon. And they were taken by the king and given to his chamberlain. And said, this is what you eat. This is what you do. You're going to be my servants. And they wouldn't defile themselves with the king's meat. Folks, we don't have to bow down and cow down to the government. Daniel was threatened with imminent death. Daniel is praying to the God of heaven. And they're going to throw him to the den of lions. What did he do? He went down to his house in chapter 6 as of four times, three times a day. He opened his window toward Jerusalem and he knelt down upon his knees and he prayed. I'll tell you what. God is the one who gave us liberty. You heard that message yesterday. What are we to do? Pray. Pray wherever you're at. I heard a smart person say the other day, you don't pray in a restaurant or public place, it might be offensive to someone. Let me ask you something. Do you, when you go into a restaurant, do you pray? I do. I have just as much right to bow my head and thank my God for the food He gives me as a guy sitting behind me can sit there and cuss and blaspheme the God I serve. I don't ask anybody if I can pray. That never crosses my mind. He prayed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were threatened. Boy, you talk about peer pressure. These kids say, boy, we can't serve God. Peer pressure is too great. Are you kidding me? They said, hey, you guys, if you don't bow down to this image and bow down to this music, you'll die. What'd they do? They said, oh, King, we're not going to answer you in this matter. If God, our God is able to deliver us, and He will deliver us, and if not, we're better off to be with God than we ought to be here. Did you ever think about that? Better off. They knew God. Had a loving relationship. They were not about to do despite to their God. Daniel went to the lion's den. They closed it up. he passed the night in repose. They threw the Hebrew children into the fire. They didn't bow, and they didn't burn. And the king had a nervous breakdown. I really believe that. He looked in there. He said, "I think we cast three men, but I see four men." That's what he said. And the fourth one looks just like the Son of God. They that know their God, they stand. They will not bow. They will not bend. They will not burn. They will pray. They will make decisions. They will show great energy for God. Secondly, they that know their God will entertain great thoughts of God. You read the book of Daniel. Daniel extols over and over and over again the great God of heaven whom he worships. His wisdom, his might. Did you know we serve the God that Daniel served that rules all of history? He shows his sovereign acts and judgment. Let me tell you what to write down. I encourage you to do this. I'm preparing the message on set them aside. And my prayer to God is when I preach that message from that day forth, I'll keep that in my heart and mind. Set them aside. Folks, that's from the Word of God. You know what I'm praying that God will set aside? Those Supreme Court justices. And I'm not the only one. There's preachers and saints of God right here in this room that has that same thought. And my pastor asked me, he said, "Pastor, can you pray like that?" I said, "Absolutely." You write her down. You write down those names of those five justices. And you wait 5 years. And you do a little research and see what's happened to them. I believe that within 5 years that they're going to decry the day they was even born. Why? Folks, you look in the Word of God. You look at what God has done down through history. Look how God has turned whole nations inside out and upside down for the treatment of Himself. It's not what they're doing to me. Look at what they're doing to try to defame God. He does according to His own good will and His pleasure. Folks, none can stay the hand of God. Am I going to stand here and say, "Well, listen, I want to see people saved"? You know what I told a man one time? I said, "If the Lord doesn't save you, I'm going to pray He takes everything you've got." You say, "Did you tell Him that?" I told Him that. He cussed me that I thought He was going to have a heart attack. I went to his drugstore. He had the most filthiest pornography that you could ever imagine. A filthy mind couldn't imagine what that man was selling. And all I did was ask him in a nice way, as a citizen of that community, according to the will of the churches, which I was representing, if he would stop selling that and take it off the shelves so that the kids couldn't see it. I said, "If you want to sell that, put it on the counter somewhere. If that's your mindset, don't let our kids experience that. Don't let our wives experience that. People in this community." His wife told one of the members of our church the next day, said, "I was an absolute idiot." You say, "What happened?" What did I tell him that I prayed for? Am I saying I'm something great? I serve a great God. That man had a drugstore, car wash, toy store, was a hardware store. He had 5 stores in a mini mall. In one night, he lost everything he had and ended up in federal prison. Am I ashamed I did that? No, sir. No, ma'am. Folks, we need to stand for God. We need to pray that God would work. When we can't, when it comes beyond our capability, we need to pray that God would work, intervene, and know that our God is a God of heaven, a Creator God. Those who know their God shall great boldness for God. Do you think that Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego hadn't counted the cost? Do you think they knew what they were doing? You think they measured the risk? Do you think they were well aware of the outcome? The king had told them what would happen when they acted. Having thus reacted, what happened? When they reacted by faith and said, God doesn't want us to do this. We will pray. We won't bow down. We won't defile ourselves. We will do what God wants us to do. No matter what the king says, no matter what goes on, we're going to serve our God. And when they reacted, what happened? But when they did it by faith, God acted. That's what we got to know. God acts and reacts. When we act and react, based upon His Word, His Spirit, and follow the leadership of God, and do it because we have this loving, intimate relationship with our God. See, loyalty to God requires that we take action. We ought to obey God rather than man. In Acts 20:24, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. You know, this is the spirit in which Daniel and his three friends showed. It is the spirit of those who know their God and have this confidence and this relationship with Him. See, to know God is to possess the spirit of determination. And when we have that, we don't sit down. What did Jesus say? You're not to plan what you're going to say. I'll give you what you're to say. He'll help us with the course that we need to take. I'm not saying we're to do all this on our own. We're to do it in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. And the God that we love and the God that we know will be there for us. We should be showing our love to our God. The God that we know that's going to act. And we need to be bold and not hesitate when the time comes to react to Him. Last of all, those who know their God, they show great contentment before God. You know, you look at those men, Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember what Peter was doing when the angel of God came to bring him out of prison? Had to wake him up. He was laying there asleep. Content. What about Paul and Silas when they threw him in jail? What were they doing at midnight? They were having a worship service. They were singing and praising and extolling the God of heaven that they knew. And God acted. When peace like a river ascendeth my way, when souls like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, my God has taught me to say, it is well. It's well with my soul. Lord, it belongs not to my care, whether I die or live. To love and serve, this is my share, and this thy grace must give. If life be long, I'll be glad. Thou may long obey. If short, then why should I be sad to soar in this day? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. They that know their God, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, being made conformable unto His death. And folks, I'll close with this. What is to know the power of His resurrection? How can we know that? I'll tell you how. Romans 8:11. You ever consider this? If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that's how we're saved. The Spirit of God regenerates, illuminates us. And we know God through that new birth. That same Spirit. What Spirit is that? The same Spirit that moved in creation moves in regeneration. And we can know the power of His resurrection. And Paul said, I die daily. I die out to the old man. And I'm restored. Romans chapter 12 tells us that. Father, we thank You this morning for the time. May this message have touched our hearts. I know it's a poor, feeble attempt, Lord, on my part. But I pray You would take it and use it. Stir our hearts within us, Lord, to know our God. In an intimate, loving relationship. That daily we would walk with Thee and look heavenward. And go hand in hand with our God. Day by day, week by week, until You take us home. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.